Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge.
And I'm Cara DeFalco.
Our next guest is a familiar face on Broadway who just wrapped up a run in Fiddler on the Roof. It is great to say hello to Samantha Massel. Sam, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
It is great to have you on. Now, even though it just ended, it must be quite the high to be able to perform on the Great White Way in such a classic show such as Fiddler. Tell us all about it.
Oh, it sure is. Well, it's, you know, for you don't go into the theater unless you can't think of anything else you want to do because it's really hard. So, that's pretty much what they say. Is if you want to do the theater, like, hold on one second. Like, is there anything else? So, you know, it was an amazing experience. It was a dream come true. This show, I grew up hearing these songs. This show has been, I feel like, in my bloodstream for my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very special for this huge breakthrough in my career to be in Fiddler. You know, I can't imagine it having been any other show.
Sure.
And it wasn't going to be Annie because I'm a little old for that.
The sun won't come out tomorrow.
And yeah, we did it. So it's crazy to think how much time, because I got the job in July of 2015, and then you can't really do anything else. I started rehearsals October 1. We opened in December of 2015, and then a little over a year later, it's just suddenly over. It's so ephemeral.
Yeah.
And right now I'm like very happy to, because, you know, it's exhausting.
Right.
So it's nice to flex my muscles and do something else and not be doing a 3-hour musical 8 times a week. Because it's a long show, but, you know. It's a dream come true, and it's a very bittersweet thing for it to have ended.
Now, you actually made your Broadway debut, at the age of 12.
It's true.
Wow,
that's spectacular.
Talk about getting started early in your career. Now, how did that all come about?
I was like jokingly calling Fiddler my Broadway re-bue. Because I don't know if it really counts. Well, you know, I was a kid and I grew up in New York City. Like, in the city.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I loved to sing, and I loved Fiddler, and I loved Annie, and I remember going to see The King and I when I was little. And I was, there were like, you know, 50 trillion kids in that show.
Yes.
And I remember being like, wait, what? Like, kids can do this? Like, kids can be in this? And then I think I probably became like the world's most annoying child. Like, I was like, hey, mom, like, I could do this, blah, blah, blah. And I would hear things, and I'd be like, Mom, I want an agent. And she's like, what?
Look
who
at
is
you.
This kid?
I was like, what?
Wow.
You want an ice cream cone? Like, what do you mean you want an agent? And so I think when I was 8 years old, I told her I wanted to perform on a stage not just for parents. So as in, like, I didn't want to just
right, like, not in your living room for mom and dad.
Or
I want
a school play. You know, you had higher aspirations.
Yeah, I, you know, big, and so she heard that New York City Opera, which is now having this huge comeback, but at the time was at the New York State Theater at Lincoln Center, they had a children's choir. And so those kids would work, you know, on music every week,
mm-hmm.
and then they could audition to be in the shows, because a lot of these operas have children in them. And so I heard about this, I dragged my mom to the thing, I joined the children's choir, like 3 weeks later I'm making my debut in the opera there, and then I worked there for like 3 or 4 years. And the way it works is that, you know, Monday, and you perform in whatever shows are in their season.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, on Monday night, I'd be in Carmen, and Tuesday night, I'd be in La Boheme. And so when these auditions started rolling around for this Broadway production of La Boheme, and I had acquired a theatrical agent at that time through much more needling of my mother, they were auditioning all these theater kids for La Boheme, and I knew all the words because I'd done it already.
How cool is that?
So many times. And so I auditioned and had a million callbacks, and I got that job. And at age 12, I made my Broadway debut.
But then you're on network television because the cast performed on the Tony Awards back in 2003, and you did that again with Fiddler just this past year. So you're getting network television exposure. You are all Sam all the time, everywhere.
I'm not sure I'd call it that for Love One, but you definitely do see my shadow pass through the front of the screen in 2003. But No, when they told me I was singing solo this year, I was like, oh, my heart was, I mean, like, you can, I can't, I actually just watched the video of our performance from the Tonys this year because I was so nervous too.
Yeah.
Because it's a very nerve-wracking experience.
Sure.
It is.
Because it's not just that you know it's being televised and you're singing by yourself and everything else is recorded except for solo singers. So we were the only people, which is standard procedure for events like this. And you sing along with yourselves, essentially.
Okay.
And you walk out to the front of the the lip of the stage, and it's the Tony Awards, and, like, Kate Blanchett is sitting 6 feet away from you.
And you're trying and you're not to, like, be starstruck, like, and remember the words all at the same time, like, right?
I'm going to try and be really chill, but this is huge.
Yeah. Now, is that the moment when it finally just hits you, like, holy, you know what? I mean, you know, this is really happening. That's amazing. I mean, you're there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, when you get to that moment when you've dreamed of doing something like this and then it's finally there, it's got to be almost surreal.
It is very surreal. I feel like I must have blacked out. Like, I think I blacked out. If you were like, what happened next? I'd be like, I think I clapped and we left. Like, it, you know, it was, it's very surreal. I think the moment in this, at least in the Fiddler process, where it felt most like that moment for me was probably opening night. We all, like, when we three daughters took our bow, and then, like, someone, like, tapped me on the shoulder and they were handing us flowers, and I was like, wait, what is happening? Like, that's, I think, the moment for me where that crazy thing happened. I think at the Tony Awards, I was like, oh my God, Barbara Streisand. Like,
yeah.
Sit right near me.
Babs! Hi, you
know, yes.
Yeah, you can do that, and you can get away with stuff like that. That's pretty good.
Yeah. I remember, like, they took off Audra McDonald's mic, and they gave it to me, and I was like, okay, cool.
Look at you.
So, Sam, I'm not even really going to draw this comparison, but, you know, I did theater, and the high school theater. I was in the plays.
We'll
go with that. But what is the difference for someone like you between musical theater, just regular theater, and film?
That's something I'm still like working on learning and understanding. And I feel like this sounds like corny, but every movie I see and every television show I watch, I feel like I learn a little bit more about it every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same acting. I really disagree with when people say it's different, you act differently. Like, it's just more intimate. It's more like, I mean, the audience is like up your nose.
Yeah.
It's a little more,
a little personal.
Okay,
yes,
okay.
Much more personal.
Everything you do that's small gets picked up.
Right. Mm-hmm. And there's such an immediacy to the theater, and it's alive and it's organic because it's different every night. And whatever happens, you deal with it and move on. When you do, for instance, all right, I've done some television. You know, there was an episode of Fringe I was on where they actually had professionally trained rats that had to run up and down a corridor. And if the rats are misbehaving, everyone stops for 4 hours. And it's just this whole different dynamic. The theater, it's living, it's alive. The energy when you perform on a stage is unlike anything else in the world.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's funny. It's funny you say that because, like, I imagine that episode you shot with the rats, like, I'm sure the shot they ended up getting, like, was perfect, right?
Oh, it was. I tell you, these rats were pretty damn good, but they were a little persnickety.
They were a little feisty.
Meryl Streep of rats. Meryl Streep of vermin. Yeah. That, it's so interesting because any audience member would never know that you guys spent 4 hours dealing with some rats who needed acting classes.
Right.
You know? And, you know, when you do Fiddler on the Roof 500 times.
Yes.
Like, inevitably, like, horrible things go wrong, and I can't even begin to tell you how funny it is. And I think sometimes it's funny for the audience too, but mostly it's funny for us because we do the same things, the same motions, the same lines again and again and again. And so when something's just a little off, it's like people are just crying. It's so funny.
It throws
myself included. I'm the worst.
You know what? I have to ask you, in saying all that, you really just kind of reminded me, and I kind of wanted to get your opinion on this. Mariah Carey's performance on New Year's Eve. As someone who is a live performer, how do you think she handled it?
I haven't seen the whole video, but I will say that getting sound feedback when you're singing is a super challenging art form.
Mm-hmm.
And if one button wasn't pressed properly, or something happened, or the machine went on the fritz and she can't hear herself, it's like dead. So she can't just sing when there's a track in a different key. So I totally have sympathy for her. You know, there are nights on Broadway where there were nights where we had no sound on stage, and you can sort of hear in the distance because the sound's being sent to the audience and not to the on stage. It's called the monitor.
Okay.
So when our monitors are off, it's like singing into a pillow.
Oh.
One final thing I wanted to ask you. It says on your Twitter that you're making your solo debut at 54 Below in New York City. Tell us a little about that.
I'm so excited. This is something I've always dreamed about doing for a really long time. You know, growing up in New York City, I went to see so many people I looked up to do their solo shows, and I'm really excited to do my own. I've been working on this ever since we found out Fiddler was closing. I was like, you know what, that's a great opportunity for me to be like, let's just go for it and do this show.
Absolutely.
And so I started writing it, and it's a tribute, it's sort of a musical tribute and celebration of women and female relationships and female empowerment in a time that I feel it's super topical and important, and it's a good reminder to everyone. And so that's sort
very
of
nice.
Very cool.
Very nice. Well, you can follow Sam on Twitter at S. Massel Sings. She is one of Broadway's future brightest lights. Samantha Massel, thank you so much for joining us here on America Weekend.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
Stay with us. More to come. I'm Ed Kalenge.
And I'm Kara DeFalco.
And this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
She is one of the most successful doubles players of all time, capturing 112 titles, including 21 Grand Slam wins with her partner, Martina Navratilova. So where is Pam Shriver now? Pam married former James Bond actor George Lazenby in 2002. The couple had three children, but divorced in 2008. Pam has been a commentator for ABC and CBS and is currently with ESPN. While broadcasting Wimbledon in 2010, player James Blake took exception to the volume of her courtside commentary.
I'm just surprised.
James Blake did it, but I can still hear you.
James just yelled at me. I'm way above the court, but evidently he can hear me. He's got rabbit ears.
Quiet down, Pam. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com. That's HappylandAudio.com.
Welcome to American Biker Minute 280 degree switchbacks. All but the most experienced wrenches detest having to wire a set of Z-bars. Still, we're doubling the height and pullback of our old set. Today on American Biker Minute.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com. That's HappylandAudio.com.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. After hours of staring at internet sites, we still couldn't find a true motorcycle Z-bar other than those identical to what we have. JP Cycles catalog is a last resort. Found a good-looking set. Twice the rise, twice the pullback of the set we've been running for years. Just what the doctor ordered for a reasonable buck and a half. Tall, fresh Z-bars along with the longer front fork tubes will really set the chopper off. Build in progress at AmericanBikerMinute.com. American Biker Minute, your passport to the old road on two wheels.